Coming up, an inexpensive Windows 8 phone, the hottest new Android phone, a freaky keyboard, a touchscreen remote control, a pen that watches my every move, and a Festivus poll. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special Before You Buy offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Before You Buy. And by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code BEFOREYOUBUY12. And they recently launched a developer platform for complete code control.
Yes, it's a Festivus poll. That's the aluminum pole that we celebrate Festivus with, also the feats of strength coming up, and the traditional grieving variances.
Thankfully, it didn't just impale you before the show began.
It almost fell right on my head. Hello, Jason. Hello, Tony. Wow, do we have a jam-packed Before You Buy today. A ton of stuff to talk about, so let's get right to it. Starting with editor Tony Wang, our chief editor. He has... you called it the ghetto Windows phone. This is an inexpensive Windows 8 phone.
Yes, it is. The Nokia Lumia 822.
All right, let's take a look at your review.
Tony Wayne for Twit TV, and Before You Buy, and today we're going to take a look at the Nokia Lumia 822 for Verizon Wireless. Here we have the Nokia Lumia 822. It's sort of the mid-range Nokia Windows Phone 8 device. And you can see here the design is pretty... subdued, mundane, nothing crazy about how it looks. One note to keep in mind that this 822 is actually not the same design that Nokia had intended. This is actually a Verizon design device, so you do not get to change the color of your device. You can't change the external shell of the 822, which is a bummer because you want to be able to change it so you can add wireless charging, which this device does not have. The display is a 4.3-inch WVGA clear black OLED Corning Gorilla Glass 2 with a resolution of 800 by 480. So it's not the highest resolution out there, but it's definitely an improvement from Windows Phone 7.5 devices. And you can see that device is really, really snappy, running dual-core 1.5 GHz Snapdragon S4 processor. And the battery, we have a 1800 mAh battery, and we also have a micro SD card slot, up to 64 GB of storage on the micro SD card. So you have a metal... badge over here next to the camera. You also have the same material, this nice feeling metal trimmed buttons, and they're all on one side, so you don't have any other buttons on any of the other three sides of the device. Speakers on the bottom, and you got speakers on the bottom with your micro USB charging port, nothing on this side, and you have your 3.5 mm audio jack on top. 1.2 megapixel front facing camera here. And we'll take a look at the camera on here. It's a 8 megapixel rear facing camera. It's by Carl Zeiss. It's got Zeiss optics in it. We're looking at a f2.2, which is pretty fast, faster than most cell phone cameras these days. And you can see the low light performance on this camera is really quite amazing. Took a few pictures in really, really dark situations, and you can see how you're about one stop away from a night mode in terms of exposure. But yeah, they're really, really quite impressive. And we'll take a look at Windows Phone 8. So first thing you'll notice about Windows Phone 8 is that you can actually make your icon even smaller than before. So that's how you would resize. You just tap it and you can have three different sizes. Pretty awesome. So you can actually have a very cluttered home screen if you like. You know, I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, I don't have that many apps on here. So, and another thing that's added aesthetically is multiple colors for the themes. Now you have a bunch of colors, not just like the default few in Windows Phone 7 and 7.5. And what really sets Nokia's Windows Phone 8 apart from, let's say, HTC or Samsung, they added a few of their own features software-wise. You have Nokia Music. You have Nokia Drive, which is their standalone navigation. And you have Nokia Maps and also CityLens. And CityLens is the augmented reality, sort of their local scout, per se. So you can actually say, I want to find food near me. And then I can see where the restaurants are around me. The best way to describe Nokia Drive is that it's your traditional navigation software. You get your faux 3D looking app here. So the pro of the Drive is that they're offline maps. So if you're in a poor reception area, you don't have to worry about map not loading or not knowing where you are on the map. But you can see there's a few things that needs to be refined, like, why do I have scrolling buttons on here? This is actually old soft keys left over from previous Nokia Drives, which I was actually a user of on my Nokia 5000 series Symbian phone. The speakers on the bottom provide adequate volume when you're using navigation as well as phone calls, you know, when your phone is ringing. But I wouldn't turn it up anything higher than, let's say, 20. This audio gets pretty distorted when it's too loud. I usually keep mine pretty low. And that brings me to Nokia Music, which is actually a really great service. It's sort of like Pandora, but you don't get to keep them. There is an offline feature where you can also buy them. One thing I did notice is that after using this for a week, they tend to play the same songs over and over again. And I have a feeling that I hear the same songs over and over again because they're the ones that's licensed for sales. So one feature that all Windows Phone 8 devices have is the NFC. So you can see here's NFC. And you see the connector here for wireless charging. Unfortunately, we don't get with Verizon because they redesigned the device. Now for the pro of the 822, it has additional software that Nokia offers, such as the Music, Drive, Maps, and the CityLens. The rear-facing camera works really great in low light, despite having no optical image stabilization like the Night 20. The con of this phone is that it's been redesigned for Verizon, and you're missing the ability to change the exterior of the phone, as well as adding wireless charging to it. And the bottom of the edge of the phone just cuts into your finger like nobody else's business. So, buy char or don't buy, it is a don't buy, because Verizon has taken the 820 and removed features from it. I'm Tony for Twitter.tv, and this is the Nokia Lumia 822.
So the 822, now you've seen the Lumia 900, the Lumia, which we had for a while, right. And that was a Windows 7 phone. And, of course, Alex has the Windows 8 920. Given that you don't want this phone, would you buy the 920?
So if you're on Verizon, you don't get the 920.
You don't get the choice.
So, but there's other phones on Verizon.
Is that an HTC 8X?
Yes.
And is that your phone?
Yeah.
So that's the phone to get. Yeah. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. Now, speaking of phones to get, I've been watching this one with great interest. This is a Verizon phone.
Yes,
Jason Howell from All About Android, producer of TNT and the Gizwiz is here. This is the Droid DNA, and I think it's the highest resolution phone out there.
Yeah, it's a true HD IPS display, 440 pixels per inch.
Whoa. Now, the iPhone is something like, what, 330?
Yeah, we've got the Nexus 4 at 320, HTC One X at 316, iPhone 5 at 326 pixels per inch. This is 440.
It's a 1080p.
That's right.
Display. Is it 5 inches?
How 5 inches at 1920 by 1080.
And it looks gorgeous.
I mean, the display, obviously, it's the signature of this phone, and it's kind of one of those things where you have to see it with your actual eyes, like in real life, to really appreciate how clear and crisp everything is on this device. I think the one thing that really kind of pointed it out to me, and you know, within like just a few minutes of using it, is going to my Twitter client Plume and just all the detail that I could pull out of the tiny little avatar images. I would see things in these avatars that I never saw before. I've seen these a million times, and you know, all the other devices that I've used, yet I saw them completely differently when I'm looking with this phone.
You know, even on this video, which isn't 1080p, it looks better. It's very crisp, very beautiful.
Yeah.
And I like the design of the phone. HTC always makes beautiful phones. It's got the touch, the red touch that HTC is famous for in Verizon. Mm-hmm. Is it a Beats phone?
Yes, it has Beats audio in there. And, you know, I've always kind of looked at Beats audio as kind of like
a little gimmick,
add-on thing. It's hard for me to really determine a big difference in the sound of my music, but I guess it's nice to know that it's built into it.
I think it's a pretty phone.
And honestly, actually, as far as audio is concerned, the output through the headphones is really hot for what I'm used to hearing through
my
headphones. It's nice and loud. Same goes for the speaker. The speaker is super loud and crisp. Phone calls just sound great on this device. Overall, I've had a great time. I've spent the last 10 days using this device, and I know that I'm liking a device when I'm having a hard time
giving it up.
Time giving it up. And when I don't automatically reach for my Galaxy Nexus to do things, I was always reaching for this, and that tells me it's a fantastic phone.
LTE works well on it?
LTE is great, super fast.
Look at the camera, that's beautiful.
This is really cool. So I think the HTC devices that I've used in the past, the camera quality has been okay. This is a really cool burst mode. So if I hold this down,
wow,
it takes them all, and then it gives me all of my options down here, and I can select.
That was really fast. My note does that too.
Totally,
but that's really fast.
You select the best one, and then it deletes all the rest.
Oh, that's sweet.
So you can just take a bunch. I used it, you know, as you know, you have kids. You're following your kids. You never know when the perfect picture is going to come along. And I got this great picture of this splash when my daughter was playing in a puddle and just splashed up. And I got rid of the rest and just kept that one.
Oh, that's pretty good. Now it's 1080p video as well.
Yeah. 1080p video. Video recording on here is excellent. Camera performance, as I said, is great.
It's Motorola. So does it
No,
have
this is HTC, actually.
I'm sorry, HTC.
This
okay,
is HTC.
So does it have, I don't see the famous Sense clock widget. You took that off.
It actually, yes, I did remove it. It's, you know, I removed it. And put up the search bar.
But it has
I'm used
all
to having
sense.
It. It does. It's Sense 4 Plus.
4, okay.
4 Plus. And I'm sorry I couldn't tell you exactly the difference between 4 and 4 Plus, but I will say that I'm used to Sense kind of slowing things down, and though it does slow things down a little bit, I guess, compared to kind of a vanilla Android experience, overall, this phone, I mean, it's packing a quad-core Snapdragon S4 Pro, and it's pretty darn responsive. Hardly any slowdown when I'm kind of going through.
It does feel snappy.
And, it feels very snappy. Yeah. Just the design quality. HTC is really good at solid-built devices, and this is no different.
It's Jelly Bean 4.1?
Yes. 4.1.1 on this device. It does have wireless charging, Energizer Key capability built into it, so you can do wireless charging.
Key?
It's just an Energizer. It's like a kind of the typical, like, plate wireless charging thing.
So you put it on something, it'll charge it. The Windows phone has that as
well. Yeah, it seems like more and more devices are doing that now. That's a good
because you get home, you just plop it on the plate.
Totally.
And I know there are accessories for Windows phones, speakers and things like that, I would imagine. I don't know if there are yet for Android. But I
didn't get any to review.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that there are. But, you know, it's really weird in the Android world, and I'm sure it'll be the same in the Windows phone world, where there are so many different devices that these accessories end up being a little fewer than they are on some other platforms like iOS, because that's one, you know, kind of hardware spec to design around.
But that's an argument for inductance charging, because you don't need a connector.
Exactly.
So that makes it compatible with anything that has the inductance on it.
This is beautiful.
So pros and cons?
Definitely pros. Obviously, the display. The display is just top notch. You can't get any better than that. The camera I was really impressed with. Did not expect that.
8 megapixels?
8 megapixel on the rear-facing camera. I believe it's 2 megapixel on the front-facing camera.
Very fast. The face recognition is almost instantaneous, mm-hmm. too, which is really neat.
And just the solid build quality. I love HTC for their build quality. Although, one minor gripe with the build. I hate this. I hate this so much. Down here at the bottom, go ahead and show the over.
The USB.
The little flippy contactor. I mean, the first thing I'd do if I got this phone is tear that off or cut it off because it gets in the way, especially when it's a dark, you know, dark in the room that you're plugging it in and trying to get that off. And yeah, it was really annoying. But that's such a minor complaint.
Yeah.
Cons, limited storage. It has 16 gigs of onboard storage, no SD card slot.
And no removable battery.
And that's the other con.
That's
non-removable
battery. I wish they wouldn't. I guess that's how they make it so thin.
But yes.
It seems to be a trend now in phones. And I just, that makes me sad.
However, I will say, so one of my pros actually was battery performance, and then the con is the non-removable part of that.
So it does have good battery.
Yeah, I mean, it's not amazing spec.
It's a
2020 milliamp hour battery.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
But I actually got really good time out of that battery. I expected to be disappointed with a battery. More often than not, it got me through the entire day easily with my normal usage, right, which I think is pretty frequent. There were days where I had almost 4 hours of screen on time, and it still had plenty of juice for the day. So
that's good to know. It's got to be, because you can't put another battery in it.
Right,
that's
exactly.
It better work.
Mm-hmm.
Buy, try, don't buy?
It's $200 on Verizon.
Okay.
The competitor, the most obvious competitor is the Note 2 LTE, and that's $300.
Yep.
The Note 2 has a lot of similar specs, but improvements to some of the things as well.
The screen is not as good.
But the screen is not as good, and this is $100 cheaper. I think if $200 is your price point, absolutely buy this. I love it.
Yeah. Boy, I was very tempted.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice-looking phone.
Yeah, I'm sad to see this one go.
And that's the test, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is.
What are you using day-to-day?
Galaxy Nexus.
So you're going back to the Nexus.
What's really weird is when I pick up the Nexus to use it, it feels small. And that's not a small device.
It's a big device.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Jason Howell, producer of TNT, the Gizwiz, and, of course, host on All About Android. That's every
Tuesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific.
It's coming up.
Yep, it's coming up right after
done with
Before
this show.
You Buy.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a freaky keyboard. Snubs has got it. Also, we'll take a look at a new Dell for Windows 8. It's kind of cool. And I have a pen that listens to you. But before we do, in fact, it just updated the firmware. How many times has a pen updated its firmware? Before we do that, let's talk a little bit about stamps.com. This is a pro tip for anybody who does mailing. This is going to be a very busy holiday season. The last thing you want to do is take time out from your busy day and go to the post office to get stamps, to mail stuff, when you could do it all from your desk with stamps.com. Stamps.com lets you print real U.S. postage from your computer, your printer, and then the mail carrier comes and gets it. You never have to get up. It's just an amazing thing. I'm loving stamps.com. It's for pro mailers. It's a mail solution for anybody who does a lot of mailing, whether it's invoices, marketing pieces, packaging. If you're an Amazon or eBay seller, a PayPal or Etsy seller, it's so cool because it takes the buyer's information right from the website, prints out the right form. You've got a great USB scale, so you always have exactly the right postage. A great way to do fulfillment. And you get discounts you can't get at the post office. I mean, big discounts. Look, I want you to try Stamps.com. We've got a great no-risk trial for you. If you go to Stamps.com, look at that, $80. I mean, but wait, no! See, go up above there and see that radio microphone. Click there. Put in our offer code, one word, before you buy. And that $80 bonus value turns into a $110 value. More free postage, $55 in postage coupons. Free digital scale. You just pay shipping and handling for that. It's about $5. A $5 supply kit, a four-week trial. And you know, at the end of the trial, even if you decide not to stick around, that scale is yours to keep. It's a great deal. I want you to try it right now. Visit stamps.com, click the microphone, enter before you buy for that extra postage. You're going to love it. Stamps.com. All right, time for me to get up and wander over. Actually, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's throw it to the review, and then we'll come back and talk to Shannon. Shannon Morse, our producer of this show, took a look at a freaky keyboard. It's from Skosh. Let's watch.
Hey guys, I'm Shannon Morse, the producer of Before You Buy, and this week I have the Skosh wireless Bluetooth keyboard called the Freaky. Now you can find this on their website and a couple of other sites online for $59.99. $60. Sounds kind of expensive, right? But you can also get it on Amazon for half the price. You can get it for like $30. So if you're going to buy this, go to Amazon. Just, you know, just hinting right there. So, this runs on Bluetooth 3.0, and you can use it with pretty much all your products that use Bluetooth. For example, your iPhones and iPods and your laptops and keyboards and tablets and all those doohickey doodads. It includes the keyboard itself in the box, in this little box. Ta-da! And it also includes this portable USB charging cable. Yay! Which is nice and retractable. I love retractable cables. That's beautiful. You can get about 60 hours on the battery of use, so pretty good. You can use it for several days without having to recharge it. It's also water resistant, so you can run water, you can spill coffee on it, what have you, and you can wash it off under the sink and dry it off with just a paper towel or what have you. And it can also be used for about 30 feet from whatever tablet or phone or what have you that you are using. Although at that point, it's kind of far away and you can't really see what's on the monitor, so I'd say might be better off to just use it close up. Now let's talk about the usability a little bit. When I was playing with this, I noticed that overall the usability was just fine. I did have one little problem because after I took it out of the box, it was folded like this. And when I took it out and laid it flat on the ground, it still has little bumps, little humps left in it from being folded up. So you have to leave it flat for a little while for it to actually get rid of those little humps in the keyboard. That can might be kind of distracting at first, but once you get rid of that, it's not a problem. The keys themselves are pretty small. It's kind of like a Chiclet keyboard. So for somebody who has larger hands or for, you know, lots of you guys out there, you'll probably have an issue with it. Ladies, as long as your nails aren't very long, you probably won't have any problem with it. Over on the side, it has a couple of little lights. There's one for the status. It shows you a little red light whenever you have it plugged in on. And then it also has a green charging light whenever you plug it in. And it doesn't take too long to charge, so not a problem. And overall, I gotta say it's really nice. I used it whenever I went traveling over Thanksgiving weekend, and I had no problem writing out emails to everybody. After a couple of uses with it, after a couple of emails that I sent out, I was able to use the keys really well. It also includes your function keys at the top. And simple things like using Shift-Tab to go back up to a different line or tabbing down, everything works like it would on a normal, for example, a Windows computer, even though you're using a tablet for some of that work. I thought that was kind of cool that you could use these keys to do simple tasks that you would usually have to actually touch a phone or touch a tablet for on the screen. Also, it comes with, on the top, this little tab, this little rubber tab that you place inside of it, nice and tight, so that if you do spill any water on it, it won't get into those little functions right there. So, pros and cons. I like it because it is cheap. At $30 on Amazon, it's a really, really good price. I would not say buy this at $60. I think that's way too expensive for this. I think the highest I would go is probably $35 or maybe $40, but probably not. And it's durability. You can throw this all over the place. You can pack it away. You can do whatever you want with it. And it's still going to work just fine because it's very durable and you can wrap it up. And the cons. Speaking of wrapping it up, it does not come with a case or anything like that. It doesn't come with a traveling case, a bag, anything like that. So you just have to wrap it up and stick it wherever you can put it. It doesn't even come with a band. So I would definitely suggest that you put it in either its own special traveling case that you purchase separately or something like that, or else it's going to get somewhat dirty because it does collect a lot of dust. And also this little hump that it gets from just coming out of the box. In that example, I would definitely say make sure you roll it instead of folding it because you'll keep on getting that problem with it. And the small keys are a little bit of an issue if you have larger hands or if you have really, really long nails. So overall, I'm going to give it a try. I didn't have any problems with it after the first couple of uses, but some people might find that it is way too small for them, even though it is a full set of keys. I hope you enjoyed my review. See you around.
All right, Shannon Morse. I always want to call you Shannon Doherty. Did you ever get that?
No.
When you were, no.
Luckily, no.
Way before your time, probably.
No, I know her.
Skosh Free. Now, it's not freaky. It's Free Key.
Free Key.
I've been saying it wrong.
I mean,
It's kind of freaky. Like, you can throw it at people. And
yeah, I know. Did you hurt anybody? I noticed you were throwing it at people.
I bruised Tony a little bit.
I'm hurt. You didn't throw it at me. Does that mean girl likes you when she throws her rubber keyboard at you?
It's like throwing rocks at the playground. I throw keyboards.
Thank you, Shannon. Shannon, you got a great lineup for today's show. We've never had so many products. In fact, we're going to move right along to Alex Gumpel, who is the flow master here at Twitty. He's in charge of
just stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah.
The basement.
Yeah, some things.
He wears a lab coat. And he is also our Windows guy. You use Windows, but also you've been kind of a Windows 8 fan. This is from Dell. What is this?
So this is Dell's new Ultrabook, the XPS 12, also known as XPS 12 Duo, which I'll get into in a bit. But first, let's just the physical stuff. It has a nice aluminum frame. Has carbon fiber back, rubber coated, nice feel. Same at the top here. If we open it up,
I saw a little yoga
saw
action
there. That
there.
Wasn't supposed to happen. The palm rest
downward
is
dog
magnesium, rubber coated, and a coated glass trackpad or click pad rather. Has a nice keyboard that's backlit, full size, very nice feeling. don't touch it.
And
if you notice the edges of the aluminum frame here are nicely polished and chamfered.
They're chamfered as the iPhone 5
is. Yes, it's very nicely machined. But I'm just poking fun. So inside has either an i5 or an i7. This particular one has an i5, Ivy Bridge. This one is 4 gigs of RAM. You have a choice of that or 8. And this one has 128 gigabyte SSD. You have a choice of that or 256.
Is that the only choice SSD?
Yes. So it's nice and light, and that's, well, sort of.
That's an ultrabook.
But yes, it's an ultrabook, and it's
no optical drive as a result.
No optical drive, right. Ports, it has two USB 3 ports and a mini display port, and just the combo headphone and mic port.
Is there an Ethernet port on
it? There's no Ethernet, which is a problem.
Okay.
If you like Ethernet.
Yeah.
But it's got Wi-Fi, and it's all good. Has Intel integrated graphics, 4000. So it's great. Gaming performance is all right.
You know, I'm curious. The Intel 4000 motherboard graphics are not the super fastest. No. Are they sufficient for the touch part of Windows 8? That's the real question.
Yes.
Plenty of speed for that.
Great on it,
Okay.
And then it also has the battery life. They claim up to about 5.5 hours. Realistically, you're probably going to average around 4 on average use or less on high use.
You got a little gas from Shannon when you flipped that around. So it's now it's a convertible.
Yes,
it's in a tablet
mode.
I
did that without even.
You didn't even. Look at that.
It has this nice.
We're seeing a lot. This is not the only one that does this.
There was a previous Dell that did this, like this, in the same sense.
So Dell's the only one that has this particular?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, right.
Lenovo has one that flips around, the Yoga.
Yeah, the Yoga.
Also, they have the ones that twist, and those are kind of the older ones.
But Dell's the one
This is, I think, the only one
pivot.
That does it this way. Unlike the last one that Dell had, which I heard was pretty flimsy, this one is nice and solid.
Okay.
And doesn't feel like it's going to break. So if we go and do tablet mode here, it's a little heavy for a tablet.
Right.
But it's nice.
You can carry the keyboard and extra battery
now,
and all
something
that.
About it's very fast. The boot time on this is incredible. So right now it's completely off, and I'm just going to turn it off.
Oh, let's see. Let's watch. So I'll count. 1001, 1002, 1003,
How was your breakfast?
1005, 1006.
Got the Dell thing on there. And
1007.
Just kind of keep talking here. And then, maybe it's not going to go a little fast. Longer than it has. Oh, there we go. All right. Well, that's a little
seconds.
Faster than it used to. Maybe,
Shannon was really counting.
I was totally counting. You can multitask.
Log in here.
Nice picture.
Is that Kristen and Rob from Twilight?
It is. Many people don't realize. What do you do? Oh, wait a minute. You use. Now, that's a neat thing about
Windows 8. So when you got a touch screen, that's always fun to have.
They let you take a picture and then have a sequence of strokes.
Right. Dots, strokes, or circles.
And that's unique, and that's your password. Unless somebody knows that, they can't log into your system.
Exactly.
I kind of like that. I don't know how secure it is, but I like
it. You have a Surface, you should try it out on that.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I notice you're using the Surface for your notes.
I am. That's my notes.
So you own a Surface RT.
I do.
This is Windows 8 Pro.
This is full Windows 8, yes. It's actually not Pro. It's just the basic Windows 8, but there's not really any difference in that.
Okay.
So it still runs everything like it would. The screen on this is really nice. It's a 12.5-inch IPS display with touch points, but it's really bright.
That's pretty. Aren't Ultrabooks usually 10 or 11 inches? 12
yeah,
is pretty big.
This is 12.5.
Yeah.
It's 13 is kind of the standard, probably.
Is it?
So it's about average size.
Okay.
But it's really crisp. It's high resolution, so it's 12 and a half inches, but it's 1920 by 1080.
Wow. So it's, that is unusual.
Yeah. And so yeah. On the desktop, it has DPI settings. It defaults at 125% scaling, so things look the right size, even though it's higher pixel density.
Right.
So it looks really nice. It's great for movies and everything. Now, something about this is the sound. I was surprised to notice that was very nice. Laptops, especially Ultrabooks, usually have kind of tinny, not-so-good speakers, which this has, but they have some secret voodoo
stuff.
It
has some tinny, not-very-good speakers?
But it has some secret magic voodoo stuff that makes it nice. So if
it's
I
got my head floating in it, so I notice.
If I play some music in here.
Let's see. We'll let Shannon be the judge.
The effects are off right now.
All right. So that's...
But now if we go to...
That's tinny,
yeah,
but with no effects. But it's not bad.
So this is like the volume is almost max right now. But now if I turn on the Waves Max Audio 4...
Oh, wow. Oh.
You can hear the difference. That actually makes it nice and full.
I don't know if you can hear that at home, but it made a big difference.
It gets, yeah, it's it gets
not
louder.
Bad.
It makes it decent. Like, it's good for, like, if you're just somewhere and you just want to play some music or watch something in the background and kind of walk around the room,
yeah.
It's you can still hear
it. I think mostly people wouldn't treat this as a music player.
No.
They treat it as they want to watch movies or TV shows.
And if all you have is your laptop, this is actually makes it really good for that, unlike normal laptops, which you might not want to use as speakers.
Right.
The Waves Audio Max Audio thing has, you can tweak it around. It has different presets for movies, music, stuff. But generally, the default one is kind of sounds the best.
That's nice. But, and that's a Dell exclusive.
It's bundled with the Dell. You could probably get this somewhere else and just download it or buy it. But it comes bundled and it makes the speakers actually really nice.
That sounds nice.
How is the bloatware on that?
The bloatware is it's minimal. It has a couple just Metro apps for, it's got a Dell store and a getting started with Windows 8 and like a Dell control panel thing for updates and stuff, and that's it. And you can uninstall all that pretty easily, so it's not a problem, I found.
Windows RT comes with Office. Does this come with Office?
This does not come with Office.
Okay.
It comes with the trial of Office 2010, but that's it.
We had a question in the chat room, too. They asked, how does it spin around without it messing up everything?
Just fine.
It just reorients.
You can't go ching like a casino.
Well, no, it does have stops because there are wires going there, and you don't want to twist the wires. Yeah. But if you flip it around, it just goes
so you can't
like it should,
keep on
and
spinning
close
it.
Yeah. So it handles it very nicely.
Can't get a gambling addiction from spinning it over.
No,
and over
you
again.
Can't. You have to go elsewhere for that.
So how much for the Ultrabook, the XPS 12?
$1,200 and up.
Ooh, it's a little pricey for an Ultrabook.
And that is one of
You're
my
paying costs. For the good screen, I think.
And it's the screen and the package is actually really nice. The build quality is nice. So pros and another before I get into that, something that's just curious is the partitioning on the hard drive as it comes out of the box is kind of strange. It has 6 partitions in it.
Boy, that's odd. How big is the hard drive?
It's 128 SSD.
So it's a small hard drive to begin with.
In usable space, you have 77 gigabytes free out of the box.
Windows 8's big.
Well, yes, but it's there's a 500 megabyte partition for EFI stuff. There's a 40 meg for something, 500 meg for something. The OS is 104 megabyte or gigabytes rather. Then has two recovery partitions.
Two.
And I think what that's due to is because there's actually two ways to restore this. There is Dell's own built-in utility that you can boot into, which probably uses an image on one of those, and then Windows 8's own built-in restore.
So there's the OEM restore and there's a Microsoft
Except
restore.
They both restore the exact same image.
Well, that's a lot of
wasted
space.
Those
are hidden partitions, but they are taking up a considerable amount,
and
almost
and
half of your space.
And you might be able to delete them, but then your recovery might not work, and it's kind of hard to say.
Right.
So that's kind of a little odd. And so you get 104 gigabytes on the system partition.
Right.
Out of the box, it's 77 gigs free.
Do you find when you're using Windows 8 desktop that you stay in desktop a lot, or do you use the Metro stuff?
If I have a keyboard and mouse, I usually stay in the desktop.
Then it's like Windows 7.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, with a different start menu.
Yeah, but having the touch screen is actually nice, so you can still swipe and stuff.
And how much did you use that type screen in laptop mode?
All the time. It's like every...
So you're typing along, you're mousing along, but every once in a while it's just intuitive to do something.
Because instead of like taking the pointer and trying to get to where you want to go, and you just touch it. And it flows really nice.
There's been discussion back and forth, but now that we're seeing these touch laptops, I think it actually works.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good thing.
It's something that I have trouble going back to without a touch.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Well, let's get your pros and cons.
So pros, it's the flexible form factor is really nice. I mean, you could do it, have like this, or you can, all sorts of ways to flip it around, and it that's really nice to have the flexibility. It's, having it in the tablet or in this mode, putting it on your lap is nice because you don't have the keyboard then jutting into you and you can just use a touch screen. So that's really nice. The screen is gorgeous, so that's a pro. And the performance is just buttery smooth with Windows 8. It's, everything is it's really nice.
Cons.
Cons are it's a little too heavy for a tablet. I don't know if you want to hold that there.
Oh, it is heavy.
Yeah. So
did you feel it?
Carrying it around heavy, as a tablet is not the most ideal thing.
How many pounds
thing.
Is that?
It's like three and a half pounds or so.
Yeah.
It's dense. It feels dense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, but I mean, if you just have it in your lap, then it's that's no matter. But mm-hmm. carrying it around as a tablet, it's a little too
funny
heavy.
How our expectations have changed. That used to be a very light laptop, and now it feels heavy.
Right. But it is a full functioning PC, a high powered full functioning PC. So that you know, that's what you get. And it's also pricey, $1,200 and up. $1,200 is the lowest base model, and then it goes up from there. So that's it would be nice if it was cheaper because it is such a nice thing, but because it's such a nice thing, it's so expensive.
We're not yet at the point where there are a lot of choices in Windows 8 and laptops.
Right, yeah, more are coming out, I think,
by
next year.
Yeah.
And there'll be a lot of choices, but some are going to be cheaper in build quality. This one is very nice. I just wish it was cheaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Buy? Try?
I would say a buy.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at what's out there right now,
out there right now, this is probably one of the better ones.
Yeah. Seems like it's one of the better made ones.
Right,
it seems like quality build. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alex. The Flowmaster, Alex Gumpel. And that's the Dell XPS 12. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, IaaS has a new remote control from Logitech. You know, they bought the Harmony brand, but this is not a Harmony. So it is a new remote control from Logitech. We'll find out if it fits into the Harmony line. Is it a Harmony? Okay, it is a Harmony. That's just a name anyway. What does it mean? It's a Logitech Touch Remote. But before we do that, let me talk a little bit about the best web host in the world, Squarespace.com. It's where we store our blog. It's where you should put your website, your blog, your portfolio. In fact, if you're not getting the best web hosting right now, if you're not using the best content management software, you've got to try Squarespace. The nice thing is, friction-free to try it. Just go to the Squarespace site, click that yellow button, and for 2 weeks, you can use it. You could try it. You can even import your existing non-Squarespace site, mobile type, TypePad, Blogger, and all the links are the same. All the images will go in there, all the SEO. So you can really get a sense of what your site might look like, how it might respond if it's on Squarespace. It is the best experience, not just on desktops, but for mobile too. That's one of the great things Squarespace has done. You use their wonderful artist-designed templates. You customize it to your heart's content. You do not have to worry about the screen size of your visitors because it will automatically respond to different screen sizes. They call it mobile responsive design. That means your site automatically looks great on any smartphone, tablet, or computer. When you add an image to your site, they make 7 different versions so that the correct size loads for the right device. And this is all done automatically. You don't even have to think about it. Drag and drop functionality for all the customization tools, but if you are a coder, they have a developer's platform that gives you complete code control, including color coding, syntax, and all of that. The Layout Engine is their new page builder tool. It lets you customize pages just about instantly by adding blocks of content like photos, videos, text. Of course, you can include all your social media content. Preview as you go so you're not in a mystery. It really is beautiful. I want you to try Squarespace right now. Free for 2 weeks. Visit squarespace.com. Click that Get Started button. And if you decide to buy, look at these prices. Unbelievable. They've simplified it to 2 different plans. There's the basic fundamental plan, and then there's the high-end plan. They call it their standard and unlimited. And when they say unlimited, they mean unlimited. Unlimited pages, unlimited blogs, unlimited galleries. You get unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage, unlimited contributors. I mean, you really can... For $16 a month when you buy an annual plan, you get the sky's the limit. Love you to try it right now. Visit squarespace.com. You don't need our offer code unless you decide to buy. So just like before you buy, you try before you buy. If you decide to buy, you use the offer code before you buy 12, and you'll get 10% off that first purchase. So make it the year's package. That way you get the most savings. You also get the free domain name and all of that stuff. Squarespace.com, truly an exceptional web host and content management system. All right, I'm ready to take a walk. Are you? Let's go walk over to the radio corner and say hello to IaaS Akhtar. So IaaS, new from Harmony.
Yes.
Or Logitech, which bought the Harmony brand.
That's right.
This is the freaky deaky touchscreen remote one-in-one.
That's what they call around the streets. What they call it, Logitech calls it Logitech Harmony Touch.
Let's take a look.
I'm IaaS Akhtar with Twit, and this is the Logitech Harmony Touch Remote. Now, the touch name, because it's got a touch screen. If you take a look at the screen, we can do all kinds of things, like swipe and go to our different settings. if you're new to the whole Logitech Harmony remote thing, it's a universal remote control that works with software on a PC or Mac. And what you do is you attach it via a USB cable that's included, and you load up everything on this using your computer. Makes things really easy. This particular Logitech is their flagship remote control. It controls up to 15 devices. 15 devices in this little guy. And if you look at the device itself, it's pretty much not a whole lot of buttons because all the stuff defers to this touchscreen. The touchscreen is very responsive, and setting up a Harmony remote is pretty easy, so I'm going to skip that entirely. So we're going to go and mess with this. So if I wanted to look at a direct TV, like our video over there, I would just push that activity, and what the remote will do, it'll send out all the signals to all your devices for you. Now, one of the cool things about this particular remote is that you don't need to know the channels of things. There's this dedicated star button here. That's for your favorite channels. For this case, in DirecTV, you see all these icons? CNN, ESPN, HGTV. You can set up to 50 favorites using the software, and there's a whole bunch that Logitech actually suggests you do. So there's CNN. If I point this at our DirecTV, I just have to hit this one button, and it'll change the channel for me. I never need to remember what the channel numbers are anymore. Now, the way it gets all this data is online. When you set up your remote, it'll set this up for you. So I've been using this remote for a couple of days in my own home. It works pretty well. I'm a cord cutter, so the whole favorites thing, not exactly something that works with things like an Apple TV or anything, but if you have cable, it's definitely pretty interesting. It's got an interesting design, too. If you take a look at this, it's got quite the bump here. Now, it's a thin and light remote, but it feels really comfortable in the hand like this. It also has this bit of a rubberized texture on the back. Makes it easy to hold. Also, when you program the remote, let's say for some reason that Logitech doesn't have the code for you, for your remote, this thing supports up to 225,000 devices, okay? But if you can't find that one device, there's an IR port on the back here that you can actually program the remote with. On the pros, this thing is powerful. The fact it can control up to 15 devices, I don't know who's got 15 devices in their setup, but you're not going to need another remote with this. It is really sturdy. It definitely feels like a premium product. Touchscreen is really responsive, not just a gimmick, and that favorites option is fantastic if you still have cable. On the con side, it's pretty expensive. It's about $200, and if you are a cord cutter, you're not going to be able to use all the functionality that this device offers. So is the Logitech Harmony Touch a try, buy, or don't buy? It's definitely a try. If you've got a home theater system decked out with different components and you still have cable, this is awesome. However, Logitech does offer a lot of other devices that are much cheaper and can handle lots of smaller component setups like mine. I'm Ayaz Akhtar, and this is the Logitech Harmony Touch.
$250, that's kind of pricey.
Kind of pricey, and if you're, like I was saying before, if you're a cord cutter, the coolest functionality, those favorites, you can't really use that with an Apple TV. It's not like you can program a Hulu button or a Netflix button. But if you're not a cord cutter, it's definitely really powerful. 15 devices you can control at once. I really like
that. You know, I bought the Harmony One because I wanted to simplify things for everybody in my family who could never figure out how to turn the TV on. So it has the programmable actions. But I found one thing that was a little bit disheartening, and I don't use it anymore. It has to be the TV, the setup, everything has to be in a known state. If the TV's on and this thing is going to turn it on, what it does is, because the TV's a toggle, it turns it off and it doesn't work. So I just don't ever use my Harmony One. Does this have the same problem as the toggle? It's not. It does have, it's the TV's fault.
It does have the toggle, but it always has that help feature where you can actually hit a little question mark button. You can keep trying to troubleshoot. But when you start getting into that stage, it's a little frustrating.
You have to get everything in a known state, and then this works fine.
Mm-hmm. Hit the off button before you start.
Everything should be turned off and then start.
That's the one instruction you need in your living room. Yeah.
Thank you, IS. Have you been wondering about my pen? I know you are.
Did I see that you actually upgraded the firmware to your pen?
I upgraded the firmware. This is LiveScribe's been around for a while. They've done a variety of pens. I've been playing with them since they came out. The good news about these is they're getting smaller. This is their Evernote pen. It's the LiveScribe Sky Wi-Fi smart pen.
Got it.
And the reason is it's got Wi-Fi built into it. Now, you won't see a lot of pens that have an on-off switch. This one does. It also has a screen, and you're going to see it's going to come on. It's starting up. It says Leo's Smart Pen, because I programmed that in. And then it's going to seek out our Wi-Fi. The way you do that is kind of interesting. Now, as with all the LiveScribes, you need special paper, a special notebook. And every one of the notebooks comes with some controller signage here in the beginning of the notebook. They also give you these stickers, so you could put one on your office desk and so forth. And there's a couple of different things you can do. This is the Wi-Fi setup screen. You say, you tap this, it'll scan for a network. You then can scroll through it, and once you find the one, you click it. You enter the password on this keyboard. That's what's interesting about this pen. This pen actually has a camera built into it and can see this stuff. You also have some smart pen settings you can change. I can check the battery level by just tapping that, and then it'll show me the battery level on the pen. It does a little click. I can see what the date is by tapping that. It's December 11th. I can click this and see the time. I can see how much storage is left. These pens ship in three different varieties. There's the 2 gigabyte, the 4 gigabyte, and the 8 gigabyte. Really, you don't need a whole lot of storage. You might ask even why you want storage at all, because this is also an audio recorder. So here's where this pen starts to really shine. I'm going to open a notebook, and I can record a talk, a lecture. I can take notes while I'm recording, and then when I come back and look at my notes, I can tap a bit of it. It's a little hard to read that. I know it's a little bright, but it says pros and cons. This is my notes for my review. If I tap this, it'll actually start playing.
Here's a pro. I love the Wi-Fi integration.
It's playing that from the pen. So as I'm talking, I was taking notes, and
it's really easy to sync.
If I tap cons,
automatic.
It'll jump to cons.
It's kind of a big pen.
And if I type pricing,
it'll
jump to the pricing section. So, and I can, of course, stop playback, pause playback. If I want to record your conversation, let's say I wanted to record your review, I press record. I continue to take notes. It's recording. Now, the microphone, of course, is an omnidirectional microphone. If you're taking lecture notes, it's going to hear a lot of room tone and echo. But you can still understand the speaker pretty well. You can turn the volume up and down by tapping that. Playback speed by tapping these so I can play them faster or slower. It's kind of an interesting idea. It's a note-taking pen that you can record the lecture, check your notes, and go back and listen to it. So, I should say there are a couple of negatives about this. For one thing, you have to use their special paper. This paper, you can't see it very well, but it is encoded with some special dots on it. And that's how the camera knows what it's looking at. So, you can't just write on regular, I mean, it's a regular pen, but you can't use the special recording and playback features without their special notepads. These notepads vary in cost. They have Moleskine-style notebooks. They have regular reporter notebooks, things like that. But they can be as little as a couple of bucks. They're not super expensive, but it's something to keep in mind. You do have to use special paper with this. Watch this. I'll tap this. And when they send it to me, you can hear the room tone on this. Now, here's one of the really neat things about this. Let's stop her. One of the really neat things about this, and this is new, this syncs with your Evernote account. If you buy the 8 gigabyte pen, you also get a premium Evernote account. I already have an Evernote account. That means my notes, as I take them, the audio as I record it, is automatically synced via the Wi-Fi to Evernote. That means that this notebook to play back or to check my notes is no longer needed. It's just for taking the notes. Later, I can go back to Evernote and review those notes. That's awesome. There's some other fun features. You might remember the earlier pens that had a piano. You can still draw a piano and play the notes. You can draw a calculator or use their built-in calculator. 8, 5, 2, times 23 equals 19,596. Now that's slick.
You look like a genius.
You do look like a genius. It also has mathematical and geometry and, sine, cosine, log. It has a random feature. So it's a pretty good scientific calculator. You can, as I showed you, check date and times. There are a few other fun things you can do with this. But primarily you would use this to record the audio from a lecture or at a meeting and then match it to your written notes as you read those notes. So let me talk about pricing a little bit because it's not cheap. It's $149 for the 2 gigabyte version. Remember, 2 gigabyte is still going to be hours of audio. For $50 more, you can get a 4 gigabyte version, and for $250, the 8 gigabytes, which includes an Evernote premium subscription for a year. The pens have gotten smaller. That's one thing I really like about this. It is not nearly as clunky as they used to be, but it's still bigger than a ballpoint pen you might be using. That's another negative. I like fine pens, fountain pens, rollerballs. This is a ballpoint pen, let's face it. It's not a very fancy ballpoint pen. In fact, you can see when they sent it to us, they wrote in a fancy rollerball this, but this, in order to make this play back, they had to write it with a ballpoint pen. It just doesn't look quite as good. Still pretty cool, that I can tap it and it'll play back. It has full sharing, which is really cool too, thanks to the Evernote feature. So, pros on this. It is a very cool idea. A pen with an actual computer built into it. It works pretty well. If you're recording audio and writing, you can always jump to that portion of the audio by clicking on your note. That works perfectly. It has some very great wow features, things like the calculator and the piano that really make it kind of fun. Cons, it's a bigger pen than you probably would want to use. It doesn't have a clip. You kind of have to treat it well. You have to charge it. It charges via the USB port in the top. And it's, you know, it's just a ballpoint pen for kind of a lot of money. So the price is definitely a con on this. If you're the kind of person who goes to a lot of meetings, you want to record the meetings and take notes, you want to share those notes online in Evernote, I think the integration is great. LiveScribe's come a long way since their earliest pens, which are really just kind of toys. This is a pretty good, serious business product. I wouldn't necessarily buy the 8 gigabyte. I don't think you know, unless you're going to very, very long meetings, 2 gigabytes probably would do the job. And at $150, that's not too painful. So a definite try for the LiveScribe. Let me say it. LiveScribe Sky Wi-Fi Smart Pen.
How's the battery life on that thing? Can it survive a lecture in college,
you
think?
Oh, yeah, easily go through a day, no problem. Battery life is very good on it. And it works well with the Wi-Fi. I was able to match it to the Wi-Fi easily here and at home. Remember, you need Wi-Fi if you want to sync up, but you don't need Wi-Fi to use it. You can still record and take notes. You only use the Wi-Fi when you're uploading it to Evernote. It automatically uploads to Evernote, too, which is kind of a cool feature.
Awesome.
Wow, what a show we had today. This was all a massive effort. I want to thank Tony Wang, our editor, Jason Howell from TNT, Shannon Morse, the producer on the show, Alex Gumpel, who is our flow master, and U2 Ayaz Akhtar from Tech News Today every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on Twitter if your daily dose of tech news. And, of course, know-how.
Yeah, with you.
With me. We'll do that every Thursday around about 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's a fun show. Definitely. What are we doing this week on Know How?
This week, we are going to show you how to podcast.
I would love to learn how to do that. Finally, somebody can explain it to me.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a conversation.
Thank you, Ayaz. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next Tuesday. We do the show around 3 or 4 p.m. Usually it's around 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Let's see, that would be 2300 UTC. If you want to watch live, we'd love it if you do, but you can always get on-demand audio and video after the fact. And we put all our videos up on YouTube, too. So if you're just looking for a specific review, it's youtube.com/twit. You can email Shannon with your questions and suggestions, byb@twit.tv. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Remember, you got to watch before you buy. See you later. Up a Windows phone for the rest of us, the hottest new Android phone, a freaky keyboard, a touchscreen remote, and a pen that listens to my every move. It's all coming up. Time to watch before you buy. And a Festivus poll. Should we do that again? Was that on purpose? It's lucky thing I didn't fall over and kill me. Leo Laporte killed by a Festivus poll. Imagine what Gawker would make out of that. All right, take 3. Stand by.